Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day, another beautiful day. God is good. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. I'd like to invite you to come by and worship with us. Our Sunday morning services begin at 10:30 a.m., and our Wednesday night Bible studies begin at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Hunter, and I say hello to you. God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you, Apostle. I thank you for the great work that you're doing, and I thank God for touching your heart and allowing me to be a part of your team and to take the word all around the world. I'm so grateful. Now,
likewise with you.
Glory to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and let's read verse 19 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's how we're to serve the Lord, with all humility of mind. Not puffed up like a frog. No, but with all humility of mind, and with many tears. Things get hard sometimes, but that doesn't mean that you should stop serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Even though things get hard and you have to cry sometimes, and you cry sometimes, keep serving the Lord with all humility. And the scripture says here, and temptations, trouble, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying that he served God with all humility of mind. He served God even when there were tears in his eyes. He served God with all humility of mind, even during troublesome times, and even when people were lying and waiting, trying to destroy him, trying to kill him, trying to hurt him, he still went on with tears, knowing that people were out to get him. He kept on serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, Paul said, none of these things move me. The hard times don't move me. I'm going to keep serving God with all humility of mind. People lying on me and trying to hurt me and destroy my testimony, and people out trying to kill me and hurt me. That doesn't move me, Paul said. That doesn't move me. I'm going to keep serving God with all humility of mind. Paul says in verse 24, he says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul was focused, the Apostle Paul was focused on finishing what God had called him to do with joy, in all humility of mind. Through the good times and through the tough times, Paul had made up his mind that he was going to finish his course, that so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. We have received a ministry from the Lord Jesus, and we ought to serve God with all humility of mind, even during the tough, even though people are out to get you and destroy you and ruin your name. Still serve the Lord your God with all humility of mind, even when people turn their backs on you and walk away from you. Focus on finishing your course and serving God with all humility of mind. Even people, when they're out to destroy you, keep serving God with all humility of mind. He says here, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, the favor of God. Paul says, I'm going to keep serving God, and I'm going to keep testifying of the favor of God that he bestows upon my life. Oh, yeah, people are out to get me. Things get hard sometimes, but God always comes through for me, and he gives me favor so that I can keep on serving the Lord in all humility of mind and complete my ministry that God has given me. Oh, yeah, things get tough. Oh, yeah, people are out to get me. Oh, yeah, I have to serve God with tears in my eyes sometimes. But I'm going to finish my course, and the reason that I'm able to finish my course is because God bestows his favor, his grace, his favor upon my life. He gives me the ability. He gives me the resources. He gives me the things that I need to get the job done. He gives me what I need to take care of my family, my wife, my children, or whatever. He gives me what I need. He gives me the supplies I need. He gives me the buildings that I need. He gives me the transportation that I need. He gives me what I need by his grace, by his favor. And so the word God has given me today for you, tonight for you, is never give up. Never give up. You can learn a lesson from Paul. Paul didn't give up. Paul said, I fought the fight, I kept the faith, and he said, I finished my course. Paul never gave up. And so the message God told me to give you tonight is never give up. Never give up. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Never give up. Galatians chapter 6. And let's read verses 7 through 10. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, to the human spirit, his spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. If you get weary of doing anything, get weary of sinning. If you get weary of doing anything, get weary of doing what's wrong. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of carrying out the ministry that God has given you. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You're going to reap a harvest of blessings from God if you keep serving God, if you keep your hands to the plow, if you keep serving God in all humility. Never give up. Keep serving God in all humility. Keep serving God. Not puffed up like a frog full of pride, but in all humility, serving God the way he instructs you to serve him. Doing ministry the way that he trains you in his word to do ministry. Never give up. And so we're going to look at some things that we can do that will help us not to give up. We need help. We need help from God if we're not going to give up. We need help. So we're going to look at three things that we can do that will help us not to give up. Number one, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. If you're going to finish your course that God has you on, If you're going to complete the ministry that God has given you, you're going to do it if you don't deceive yourself. Look at Galatians chapter. I give you an understanding of what I'm saying. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse 7. Paul says right here, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Now, that word deceived is planao. Planao in the Greek, planao. And it means deceiving oneself. Deceiving oneself. So God is saying, if you're going to keep doing what I tell you to do, if you're going to make it, if you're going to complete the assignment that I've given you, you're going to have to not deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. That's what the scripture says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't deceive yourself. That word deceive is planao. And it means deceiving oneself. It means roaming from safety or truth. Don't roam from safety or truth. Don't roam. Don't roam, you know. Don't roam away. R-O-A-M. Don't get to roaming. Don't roam away from safety. Don't roam away from truth. The word of God is truth, and it will keep you safe. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Oh, glory to God. We're to run into the word of God. We're to run into the word of God, which will keep us safe. And so that word deceive, it means to roam away, to roam from safety or truth. That word deceive also means to be led astray. Don't let yourself lead you astray by you deceiving yourself. Don't let others lead you away from the truth, because the truth is safety. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let others deceive you. Don't roam away from safety or truth. You'll fall. You'll fall. You'll fall. You'll be destroyed if you roam away from the truth. It's the truth that will make you free. It's the truth that will keep you safe. So number one, these things will help you not to give up, never to give up. Number one, don't deceive yourself. You know, some folks deceive themselves, you know, like in America. People are deceived. This government is deceived. Now, the word of God tells us that anyone that practices homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the word of God says now. But this nation has deceived themselves and made a law saying that it's all right for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. It's all right. You're deceiving yourself. Oh, yeah, you made a law, but it's still against God. It's still wrong. You're deceiving yourself. And the Bible says that God is not mocked. You're deceiving yourself. You're mocking God. That's not going to help you to complete your ministry. You're deceiving yourself. It's not going to help the United States that's supposed to be one nation under God. You're deceiving yourself. Governments, nations are deceiving themselves, making up laws that are against the word of God. You're deceiving yourself. So God says, if you want to complete your ministry, you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. You're going to have to do what I instruct you to do. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit and obey the Spirit of God. You're going to have to obey my word. And when you do that, you'll finish your course. You'll finish the race. You'll get your ministry. Don't deceive yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians. Well, look at verse 8. Because verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, their human spirit, shall reap life everlasting. Don't deceive yourself. If you're doing something that's against God, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap devastation. You're going to reap calamity. Things are not going to go well for you at all. Never give up. Don't deceive yourself. Don't roam from the truth. Don't roam from safety. Look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, be not deceived. There it is again. Don't deceive yourself. And don't be led astray by others. Be not deceived. Evil communications, hanging around with corrupt people, corrupt good manners. You got some people think, oh, I'm going to hang around her and I'm going to change her, even though she's a dope smoker and she likes to go to the streets and party and, even though she does drugs, that's all right. I can change her. I can change her. Don't be deceived. God says they're going to change you. Bad company corrupts good morals or good manners. They're going to change you. You're not going to change them. They're going to change you. And you got men and women hanging out with men hanging out with women. Well, men hanging out with other men that are doing wrong, robbing, stealing, and killing, and doing all those types of things. Well, if you hang around them long enough, you're going to be doing the same thing. Don't be deceived, God says. Bad company corrupts good morals. It'll get you into trouble. It'll get you in trouble. You're only deceiving yourself, thinking that you're going to help them and that it's all right and to befriend someone who's living wickedly. No, they're going to corrupt you. You're going to find yourself acting and behaving just like them. Don't deceive yourself. We're looking at some things that will help us not to give up on our assignment from God, not to give up on the ministry that God has given us, not to give up on our Christian walk and our Christian faith. Number one, don't deceive yourself. Don't get to hanging out with the wrong people thinking that it's not going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And don't feed yourself on those things that God has already delivered you from. That's going to hurt you. Don't feed yourself on things that already have God has already delivered you to. You know, Jesus said that a man that returns to his old ways after he has delivered them, he said is like a dog returning to their vomit. Oh, my God. Like a dog returning to your vomit. God's delivered you from drugs. Don't go back to drugs. God's he's forgiven you and delivered you from whoremonging. Don't go back to whoremonging. Don't even hang around it. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you can watch it and hang around it and be involved with it and not get caught up in it. Don't deceive yourself. Never give up. One thing that you can do that will help you not to give up is don't deceive yourself. Number two, sow spiritual things into your human spirit. We need to feed ourselves, feed our mind spiritual food. We need to feed ourselves spiritual food, the Word of God. Sow to your spirit, your human spirit. You know, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. We need to sow the Word of God into our spirit. Feed ourselves spiritually. Oh, glory to God. Sow to your human spirit. Sow to your soul the Word of God. Feed your mind spiritual food. Do spiritual things. This will help you not to give up. You're building yourself up. One scripture says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's doing spiritual things. You're building yourself up. Do those things, those spiritual things, those godly things. Do the Bible things that will build you up. These things will build you up. Praying, reading your Bible, going to church, These things will build you up, praying in tongues. These things will build you up. Build yourself up spiritually. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Never give up. These things will help you not to give up. Number one, don't deceive yourself. Don't let anyone else deceive you. Don't be led astray. Don't roam away from safety or the truth. Number two, sow to your human spirit. Sow spiritual things into your human spirit. Sow the word of God. Plant the word of God. Study, pray. Sow the word of God into your human spirit. This will build you up spiritually. Turn to Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. That word life is zoe in Greek, zoe. If you sow spiritual things, if you sow the word of God into your spirit, you're going to reap life. That word life in the Greek is zoe, zoe, and it means life as God has it. Life as God has it. You're going to live like God. You're going to experience and enjoy life like God has it. Oh, glory to God. When you sow spiritual things into your spirit, when you sow the word of God into your spirit, you're going to reap life, zoe, life as God has it. God's not sick. God's not struggling in heaven. Oh, no, the streets of gold are made of heaven. He's not biting his fingernails wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God's living large in heaven. And there's no sickness and disease and crying in heaven. Oh, no. Glory to God. We want to live life like God has it. We're going to have to sow spiritual things into our spirit. We're going to have to sow the word of God into our spirit. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, that we'll reap life. Oh, glory to God. Life, zoe, life as God has it. These things will help you to never give up. Don't deceive yourself. Don't roam away from safety or the truth. Don't be led astray by people who don't want to serve God and don't want to live for God. Don't deceive yourself. Number two, sow to your human spirit, sow to your human spirit, your mind, spiritual things. Sow into your mind spiritual food, the word of God. And you will reap a harvest of life, zoe, life as God has it. Glory to God. And my third and final point, do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. We need to do good to all men. But he puts emphasis on especially those who are of the household of faith. Your brother and sister in Christ who are walking by faith and not by sight. Your brother and sister in Christ who have confessed Jesus as Lord with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead. That's your brother and sister in Christ. We're especially to do good to them. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and verse 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap a harvest if you faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You can have a man that's a heathen, and you can have someone that's of the household of faith, your sister and brother in Christ. Well, if you had to choose which one that you were going to do good for, you need to do good to especially to the brother and sister who are of the household of faith. That's what the word of God says. And when you do doing these things will help you not to give up. Oh, glory to God. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Never, 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 never give up. Keep your hands to the plow. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to get blessed by God big time if you don't give up. You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap great results. God's going to elevate you. He's going to promote you if you don't give up. Never give up. These three things will help you not to give up. Don't deceive yourself. Don't be led astray by anyone else. Don't roam away from the truth of God's word. Don't roam away from safety. Number two, sow spiritual things into your life. Sow the word of God into your mind. Feed your mind spiritual food, the word of God. Pray. Get the word. Do the word. Do the word of God. And number three, do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. Doing these things will help you to never give up.
God is so good. My God Almighty, what a teaching. Ooh-wee. Acts 2:19. Listen to God. Amen. God is so good.
Amen.
Tonight, we just say, praise the living God. Praise. All I can say to everybody listening tonight, God has been good to us. He has been good to us. All we got to
Amen.
Do is praise. Just praise him and love him and adore him. Magnify him and thank him. There is no God like him.
No.
All the time. If you just keep moving forward, God will go and do what he says he's going to do. And so, I'm just so blessed to have you brothers on the radio with me. Y'all just know how y'all encourage me. And I want to just say this to you and tell you this much. God bless you. And tonight I believe I got the pastor coming on. You there, pastor? Pastor Irvin. Hello? Are you there? Hello? I'm listening, please. Pastor Williams. We're waiting to see what's going on here. Hello? Hello? Pastor Williams? I'm trying to get him on the line. Is he there? Is he there? Yes, he is. Are you there? Hello? Are you there? My brother, are you there? I guess he must have dropped. Go ahead,
Hello.
Pastor. Can you? Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you there.
I can hear you. I had to dial in again. I don't know what was going on. Praise God. Like I said, I kind of needed to hear some of that message tonight. You know, we all kind of go through some tribulations and some stuff in our lives. You know, even as we're pastors, and it doesn't matter. I mean, we still get hit just as hard as a layman, as anybody else. So praise God, you know, sometimes that encouraging word just resets the time clock for us, you know, and sets us back on the right keel. So praise God, you know, even in the best of everything, you know, a lot of times we come to a point in our lives when we're not prepared for things that God he throws at us and that the devil throws at us, you know. And in the spirit of the Lord, he's always made a way for us. He's always made a way out, or he's always made a way that we can triumph over anything that we do. All we got to do is trust and believe in the Lord, and he will make a way for us. The devil, he comes at us, and you know, we know he's a liar and a cheat and a thief and everything else, and he'll come in the light of God, but we know he's not, you know. He's the imitator, and sometimes, you know, without the understanding of who you are in Christ and what you are in Christ, you know, because like I said, he's there to take you down, and he's a great deceiver. And praise God, I've been doing some ministry, and I've been ministering to a man who he'd lost his wife after 30 some odd years, and then and shortly he remarried, and only to find out that the woman was cheating on him, and you know, he's been in a mess. And I've been ministering to that man, and like I said, you know, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared for the new life, like you could say, you know, starting over again. And the Word of God tells us, you know, that as long as we stay in him, we trust in him, that he will continue to provide and make a way for us. And I'm not sure who I'm talking to tonight or anything else, but somebody also needs to hear this. You know, last night I was doing my own show, and I was reading scriptures in there, and was talking about the church at Ephesus, and God took me on a wild boot.
Dropped again, brother. I think your line dropped. You'll be back on there in a few minutes. That's my belief.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I don't know where I left off at, where I fell off at. But anyhow, I was talking about being unprepared. We're seeing in the world, we're seeing the different things that's coming on in this world, and we're seeing that the church is basically becoming unprepared for what's coming. And like I said, God has called us that we need to sit and we need to start to build this or build the church again, because I got a feeling he's coming faster than what most people think he'd be coming. You know, we keep on saying that sitting waiting for the Lord is or the anticipation of waiting for the Lord is the second coming is seems like forever. But I got a feeling that forever is just about here.
Yes, indeed.
You know, because we can see the earthquakes, and we can see all the different things that's going on in the world. We can see the traumas, and we can see the degradation. We can see the lawlessness that's going on in the world, and we can see all this stuff that's coming. And like I said, the church is, for the most part, a lot of the churches, I should say, basically have become unprepared. And I'm not the church. I'm not talking about any particular church. I'm talking about the body, those who are in the church. Each and every one of us is a church. But we become lax in a lot of different areas in ourselves that a lot of us are not going to be prepared for what's coming.
Amen.
We've been told so many things. We've been told so many things, you know. And yes, prosperity, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. And he wants us to prosper in our souls. He wants us to prosper in our marriages and in our relationships. And he wants us to prosper in everything. There's that false sense of prosperity that people have been latching on to, and not latched on to the prosperity of the Word of God. And God is saying that we need to build the church. We need to begin to build them back up. We need to begin to sit. Right now, we need to begin to sit and be able to begin to speak that Spirit of Christ into them again. We need to sit there and start shaking off all that dust and all that dirt and this stuff. You know, I was on the show last night, as I was talking, I said, you know, now, this is just me, okay, but as I was talking, I was getting this revelation, you know, when God spoke about the 10 bridesmaids, and it said that the 5 had oil in the lamps, and the other 5 only had to have half of the oil, and then when the groom opened up the door, And then the 5 went in, the other 5 went out to find the oil. You know, he was talking, that was the church. The 10 bridesmaids were the church. The groom was Christ opening up the doors to heaven, and the 5 who walked in because they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people today in the churches are not filled. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They've lacked themselves. They've run out of oil. They've had better things to do: football games to go to, soccer games to go to, watch the NASCAR race. Come on at the same time. I'm having a barbecue. You know, church is happening, and you know I need to be here. There are times when we can't make it to church. There's for one reason or another, but God says that we need to build the church. You know, but anyhow, as I was talking, I was getting this revelation. You know, I said, you know, we're seeing that a lot of the churches are starting to serve Baal, because we're seeing idolatry. We're seeing all these other things. It's in the churches. We're seeing the bling and the things, and we're seeing, you know, all this other stuff that's not of God. And I thought, and I said, you know, as I was talking, I said, well, my God, I said, you know, what if it would be those people who have seen the stuff that's going on in the churches and got fed up and left? and they're having church in their homes, just as they did in the days of the beginning of the beginning of the church, that they're in the homes having church. And those who are in the buildings having the church under a false god of Baal, of all this other stuff that is going on, that we're seeing that's going on, because they're allowing homosexuality into the church. They're allowing ministers that are in the church that are preaching that are not of God. Basically, they've substituted the word of God. I said, well, it doesn't really mean this. It really doesn't mean that. And what if those who are in the church are the ones who are going to be left behind, and those who have left the church building and gone out into the homes to have the church in their homes and to sup with the Holy Spirit in their homes, those are the ones that be taken. That came across my mind when I was preaching last night on the radio show, and I said, well, where did that come from?
Now, I'm not Jesus.
You know? All right. So you know, and I was preaching, and we don't know. I mean, we don't know in truth, because it's you know, I challenged the people, the pastors. I said, you know, if every pastor was to look at their congregation, whether they had two people in their church, or if they had 2,000 people in their church, and they looked out into the congregation, and knowing that scripture about the 10 bridesmaids, and knowing that only half that's in your congregation are going to make it, how would you begin to preach to the people to build the church, to bring the others in? You see, that's what I said, that when I was preaching that, and I sat there last night, and that came across. I said, my God, these churches, we know there are churches out there that are not biblically correct. And we know, but there's a lot of churches. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about all the churches. I'm far from talking about all the churches. There's men and women out there who are preaching, and they're doing the word of God, and they're doing the work of God. And when they're honest, and they're as pure hearted as they can be in building the church, and they're doing what they can do as followers of Christ. And I have every respect, and that's not who I was talking about. I was talking about the worldly churches. I was talking about those in the world, those churches, those ministers who have been compromising the word of God to fill their congregation in order to collect the money, in order to sit there and have that life of the luxury. Those are the ones that my heart went out and cried out to. My heart was feared for those people and those churches, because they're going to be unprepared. When God opens up the king, when the trumpets blow and the trumpets sound, they will not be able to hear the sound, because they'll still be caught up in that false gospel of what is being spread. And that's what I said today. Those who are in Christ, God says, let's build the church. It's time to build the church. It's time. We need to start to build the church. I mean, when I got that revelation last night, like I said, my God, where did that come from? And whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. I hope that in some respect that what I'm saying, I'm not saying I want to be right on it, but I just don't want to throw any delusions into what I spoke. But it was just it came across me as a thought, and I said, what if that was to be so? How, as a pastor, am I going to be able to preach? How am I going to minister to people, knowing that half the congregation that I'm looking at, and it doesn't matter what church I'm sitting in and talking to, how am I going to preach to them in order to bring the other half forward, to be able to save them, to at least leave them with something, so that in tribulations, at least there be hope for them, that they'll still be able to come into the kingdom. I mean, I can use some prayer on that. I could use some advice on that. I really do. And I'm not trying to say I'm going to be wayward on what I'm speaking or anything like that, because I'm just preaching is what I can preach. You know how I want to talk on the radio shows and how I speak and stuff like that. And so, like I said, I that came across and it scared me. It really did, guys. And I'm just, you know, I can be kept up in prayer in that. And I hope that if I'm right, that we need to be able to reach out to these people. We need to be able to reach out and see, because, like I said, we're seeing it happening. And yet at the same time, God is shaking the ground right beneath our feet. I mean, there was 2 days ago, there was 240-some-odd earthquakes up in Alaska.
Yeah.
247, I think it was, in Alaska, between Alaska and Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's a lot of earthquakes in one day. In different areas. If God's not moving, if he's not shaking the earth, like he said, in the ground and beneath our feet, and he's shaking our faith. He's waking us up and saying, hello, I'm here, I'm coming. Be ready, be prepared. Without the wisdom and knowledge and understanding, without being able to hear the word, without being frosted over with a false gospel and saying, yeah, well, it's okay. It's okay to be homosexual. It's okay that you can do these things. It's okay that it's all right. You know, we just love you anyway because God loves you. Well, God does love us. But also I know this, he's not going to have another rebellion in heaven. God had one rebellion in heaven. He kicked out Satan, and he kicked out Satan, and he kicked out a third of the heaven that follows Satan. And if he's no respecter of a person, he's no respecter. Even the angels were his creation. If he's no respecter of a person, if we're following the laws of the land, God says we see. I was talking to somebody and I said, the illegal people here in this country, they're breaking the law. But and I said, the consequences are. But I said, you know, says even though the laws of the land, if we don't learn the laws of the land, how are we going to learn the laws of heaven? We don't have to. There's the laws that we don't have to accept, but we don't break them. We don't have to accept the law that they're saying it's okay for a man to go into a woman's bathroom. You know, they've already sat there and they've already, you know, this nation was supposed to be upon equality. And if it's on equality, then how come somebody has got a special treatment over another race or another gender or just because of bad behavior? They got a better – they have – that's not equality. We've lost equality. Equality means that, brother, you and I are equal. That it doesn't matter, you know, okay – if you got a job and you're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year, there's no reason why you can't make $130,000, $140,000 if you put yourself to it, if you have the education in order to have that job. It's any less than me to sit there and be jealous of you making $30,000 or $60,000 a year and I'm making $10,000 or $15,000 a year. I should not be jealous of you and say, well, you got the job because you're black, or you got the job because you're white, or you got the job because you went for it, you got the education for it, you got what it was, you took the tenacity in order to be able to put yourself in a position to have that kind of funds. But to have to say that this is equality, that we need, like I said, equality in man, we are equal. It doesn't matter what color of skin you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Equality is it should be the same across the board for everybody. No special treatment for anybody. It's destroying this nation. It's destroying the things upon this nation. And like I said, the nation is trying to play God, and it can't because it's a man-made system. And man-made system is a failed system. But that the system in Christ, the system and the laws of God are impenetrable. Those laws are irrevocable. Those laws of God, those are the laws that we need to follow and understand. Those are the laws that we need to sit there and say, yes, Lord. It's like Daniel. He would not bow down to the God. You know, when I was talking last night, I said, you know, I said, Moses stood in front of the burning bush, and the bush didn't burn. But you know, did you realize, and each and every one of us, we've had experiences. Those who've had experience with the Holy Spirit, we've felt the fire come upon us. But you know, I got thinking and I got talking, and I said, you know, there were three that were placed in the fiery furnace. But the Holy Spirit of God and God Himself brought His fire down in that furnace that consumed that fire. And those men were unscarred. They were in the midst of the fire. They were in the midst of the fire of God. They consumed the fire. His fire consumed the fire of man. Because it says that the king had made the fire seven times hotter. Seven times. Seven is the Lord. So if the Lord came down and He stood in the midst of that fiery furnace, the fire of God was stronger and hotter. It consumed the fire of man, and those three men, Meshach, Reshach, and Abednego, they stood in the fire of the Holy Spirit. They stood in the fire, the very fire that burnt at the bush that Moses stood before. Think about that. If that's God doing something like that, how much more would He do for you and I if we would sit there and listen and follow after Him and seek Him and not the things of the world and not to sit there and because take our churches and take our ministries and sit there and compromise the Word of God in order to prosper in the world when we need to be prospering in Christ. Because we need to sit there in those 12 or those 10 or 5 bridesmaids that only had a half of oil in their lamp, those are the ones we need to go after. Those are the ones we need to fill their oil. Those are the ones who are lost. And those are the ones we need to drag out of the midst of what's going on. And like I said, if we stood in the pulpit tomorrow or this Sunday, every pastor would sit and look out there and truly look at their heart and sit there and wonder, could they look and say, only half of my congregation is going to make it. How can I get the rest in? How would you preach to them this Sunday? What limitations would you put on yourself? What limitations would you put on your message because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings? You know, Mom come out and spanked my butt once or twice. My dad come out and spanked me because and said things to me that I needed the correction. That hurt my feelings because I thought I was bigger and badder and I thought I was doing something, this or that. And, you know, and I've had friends that come up and say things to me that kind of put me in my place. And I'm praise God that they did because it made me a better person. It may have hurt my feelings, but you know what? I can sit there and say thank you. I can say thank you for that. The churches, a lot of the we can see that's going on. We need to be able to sit there and be just as forward and just as rightful with those and sit there and begin. If it hurts their feelings, they'll get over it. But if it saves them, they'll thank you in heaven. So that's basically about my word for tonight. It's like I said, there's a couple of things in what I was preaching last night on my radio show, and when that came across to me, I went, wow. Because I know that the churches, there's a lot of the churches out there that are compromising for the laws of the land. They're saying, well, okay, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. And they're going against the principles, they're going against the laws of God. And those are the ones we need to go after. God says we need to start to build His church, His kingdom, for His glory. So, praise God.
Amen. I hope everybody.
I hope there was something in there that came across that made sense to you. I mean, like I said, I'm still kind of up in the air about that on my own. But you know, it's just something to think about. You know, you guys, we all need to think about that. Especially, like I said, when we sit there, and it doesn't matter if you see the person on the street corner, and we got to sit there and wonder. We got to wonder about, are you going to make it?
Amen. But God has been so good. God has been so good. That's the thing that I say to you now. Amen. Well, I tell you what, until the next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. I'm going to put some music in now. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.